January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling along, hour number two of the show starts now. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Again, thanks to Robbie Lawler joining us ahead of his fight this weekend. We always appreciate guys being able to pop in, spend some time with the suspects, so that's good stuff. A lot of people basically waiting with bated breath around town to talk about Zach Greinke, and they can't get the opportunity. You can always get that here, because the fact of the matter is that Zach Greinke is a Houston Astro, and that is a big deal. And the one thing I wanted to throw out to you, Barry, is...
You're such a jerk.
With everything that happened yesterday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The one thing that I think it also did was it kind of saved baseball in terms of saving face for moving the deadline and making a singular deadline for trades. Because we kind of touched on this a few days ago, but now looking back at it in retrospect, if the Astros don't find a way to get this Greinke deal done, the biggest move or moves in all of the trade period would probably be Stroman and then the Bauer trades.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think you'd have had even more in terms of pushback, because there's so many teams that said, we didn't know if we were going to be buyers or sellers. We couldn't go out and just sell the farm now at the end of July and then try and sell, push to our season ticket holders that we're still putting a product out there worthy of coming to games, spending your money, bringing your family, doing all these things. And I think that in the short term, the Astros making a big splash like this and doing all the things that they did kind of saved MLB's bacon, because it's not like the NBA. The NBA, when they had their free agency period and all the things they've done, it's been like splash, splash, splash. Everybody dialed in. Everybody can't wait. When we need more and more, Woj this, Woj that. You look at what happened with baseball, at least with the two deadlines, you could say, well, the first one passed. You mentioned the fact that you had Keuchel and some of the guys upset about the fact that the Astros didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a chance to save face. And then it went down to the final seconds, and you got Justin Verlander, and you got all these things to where people are like, God, this is awesome. And they were able to do what they weren't able to do at the trade deadline. Now, you got a whole bunch of teams that kind of get just a little bit agitated with the fact that, yeah, we not only, like, take Brian Cashman.
Yeah.
Brian Cashman's got to be really ticked, because now he's like, well, I didn't get anything done. I'm getting killed, and there is no chance to redeem myself. Either you move the deadline back to mid-August, or I think you're really going to have some issues with pushback from the teams.
Well, first of all, I'm gonna respectfully disagree with you in regards to it saved it. I think there was really a lot of nothing that happened, including the Greinke trade. I think that it was a blockbuster deal, but you expect a lot more of that, especially from teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox, and they were nowhere to be found. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't try to get deals done. But those are two organizations that have been known to go, eh, we'll figure it out. Let's just go over the top. Let's overpay, or let's do whatever we need to do to win this year. We'll figure out next year, and they always do. But they didn't do that this year. And to me, if you want to pinpoint anything that was a disappointment, that was a disappointment. More than the deals that did go down or not having a secondary deadline to keep but the fact that these upper tier ball clubs outside of the Astros stood pat, and the teams that were thought to be sellers were the ones out there making moves. I mean outside of the Indians, but the Reds made a lateral move instead of selling.
The Mets,
you know, got better instead of selling.
When you look at it, Cashman's quote was, "We never even got down the road and got deep in discussions with anyone." And you're like, "Well, why?" And part of it, where they're placing the blame, is because teams like the Giants, who were thought to be sellers, suddenly were going to be buyers for most of the time because they're still in it. And then what they tried to do was keep Mad Bum while trying to move some other pieces to try and enhance their team just to make a push for the rest of the year. And like you mentioned, the Mets, the Reds,
look,
the teams
were
involved.
There were names that moved. There were, I mean, the Marcus Stromans and the Zach Greinke's and the Tyler Bowers of the world moved. So it's not that there wasn't movement from three big arms. There was. It's just that the Yankees and Red Sox, for whatever reason,
and really
didn't get into
the
it, or didn't, and the Dodgers. But the Dodgers really didn't need pitching necessarily.
Yeah, their bullpen was weak.
I mean, the Braves went out and bought a bullpen, and now
they
I'm going to tell you, man, watch out.
I told the guys back there, if the Astros don't pull the Zach Greinke deal off, the Braves win the entire trade deadline.
Oh, no doubt, and under the radar too.
Yeah.
But
Green is a sneaky ad, and all the things that they did, they're coming, and they're coming hard for the Dodgers,
and they've got some talent. And that's probably my pick for the NL championship game, Dodgers Braves.
I think so too. I agree.
But I just felt like that the letdown was not the fact that it's one deadline. That should have put a sense of urgency in some of these teams, like what you saw the Astros do. They were like, all right, we're not going to have another chance to get an arm if we don't do it now. And we're probably not going to have a better chance to win a World Series, or at least get back to it, than we will this year, because you can't predict the future. The Yankees could be healthy next year and just completely run away with baseball. It's just entirely possible. So you know what? We're going to go for it. We're going to mortgage some of the future. And they did. And no other team did that.
Think about
this,
though. The other thing, the way the Astros were thinking was, well, if we don't make a move and we come up short, now we're going to have a disappointed fan base. And then when you roll into next year, and if Garrett Cole doesn't re-sign with the Astros, now you take a disappointed fan base in the way the season ended, and the first thing people are going to be are like, oh, man, not only did we lose, but then we lost Garrett Cole. Maybe you lose Wade Miley. This way, they took care of the present and a little bit of the future in making sure that they're going to be relevant. They're going to be competing for titles for the next couple of years. And I think that from, obviously, it's not the first line of thinking, but from an overall marketing.
I mean, it was mine. That's exactly what I thought. Yesterday, I said it when they made the deal. This does two things. It enhances your chances for a World Series this year. And no matter what happens with Cole and Miley, you have two aces going into the next 2 years.
Right.
And you're getting Lance McCullers back. So
that's what I'm saying. On the flip side, this one Greinke deal accomplished
two purposes.
And I agree, but that's what I'm saying. Because if you don't make the move and then you lose Cole and you don't win a World Series, or at least get there this year, you could risk a big fall off in terms of the excitement and the support of the fan base, because of the fact that it wasn't going in a positive. You weren't, like we said, you weren't getting better every year.
I just wonder if some of the lack of activity is teams trying to mimic what the Astros do, in that, well, they built up their farm system and they didn't relinquish some of their best guys, but they still did a deal, and they moved some pieces, some assets in the farm system, but not all of it. And, you know, these other teams don't, a lot of these teams don't have the type of farm system that the Astros had to do this.
That's
now,
the thing, to keep
the
weird
thing is, going into next year now, the Astros aren't going to have the type of farm system that they need to do this again. But I think that this kind of the deal, where you get a guy for two more years with his stuff in Greinke, you don't need those assets, because now you've got two bona fide aces.
You still save your number one and your number two in Whitley and Tucker.
And Whitley could be your five next year.
There you
Tucker
go.
Could be an outfielder if you lose a Reddick or, you know, something like that going forward. So
if you have to do something, they're there. But look, I think kudos to the Astros. But I think we're going to be able to see, there's going to be a whole bunch of pushback by teams in Major League Baseball for next year. I can see that deadline going to middle August.
I don't know. I could see you getting cash back if you're using GetUpside. I could certainly see that. GetUpside is an app that gets you cash back on the things that you're already buying, like gas and food. If you're out there and you're filling up a company car, Boy, you really need to go download Get Upside right now. It's outstanding. And when you do download it, you can get it from iTunes and Google Play. When you do download it, make sure you put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra cash back on your first fill up through the app. Now, you can already get up to 25 cents a gallon. So depending on where you're at and the deal that they're offering and the one you choose, and then you got the promo code, my wife ended up getting 30 cents a gallon cash back on her first fill up through the Get Upside app. And it's so easy to use. There's no gimmicks. There's no catch. And you know what? You're not locked into anything. You're not like, oh, if you use us, you have to keep using us. Here's the thing. If you don't like Get Upside, if you don't like getting the cash back, just stop using it. It's that simple. And also, you have choices. If you're going to get cash back, you can do that. Do you want to get an Amazon gift card or maybe a food gift certificate or movies? All that's available through the app. It's outstanding. And there's so many different ways to get paid. You can do it by filling up your car at any of the 500 gas stations around the city. You can do it by eating out at any of the over 100 restaurants around the city. Or you can refer friends and get cash back when they do the fill-ups or eating out. So many ways to get money. Go download it right now. Don't waste any more time, and don't leave any more money at the pump or the table. Guys, download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back, and thank me later.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5. This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, almost to the midway point of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's 2:22, Barry. Pointing it out for the sake of conversation, in case anybody cares. I told you I'd leave it to you if you're going to take it anywhere farther than that. Before we get to more baseball talk and other things, Ian Rappaport, amongst others, reporting the Jets and center Ryan Khalil have agreed to terms on a one-year deal worth about $8.4 million. Khalil was set to retire after a long career with the Carolina Panthers. He's now coming out of retirement and giving a big lift to the offensive line of the Jets and Sam Darnold. Take Sam Darnold and the Jets' name out of the equation. Put in Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. Why the hell couldn't his brother, who's in camp, make a call and go, hey, I got an idea. We don't have a general manager, but you come on down to Texas. Let's play together. It's like peewee football all over again.
It'd be nice, but I don't think that's how that works. Otherwise, Steph and Seth Curry would be playing together. I don't think you get to play together.
Did you really just...
I don't think you get to play together just because you're brothers.
You could. Here's the perfect opportunity.
No.
Look in New England last year in their secondary. Otherwise, who are the two brothers that played for the Patriots that won a title together?
Oh, you would ask me.
But I'm just saying, it can happen. And yeah. And you can go, bro, it's real easy. We don't even have a general manager. Just tell me you want to play. We'll work it out, get you some pads and a helmet. You come on out to practice tomorrow. It's going to be good.
Just show up. Nobody's in charge of personnel.
It's all good.
They won't even know you're not supposed to be
here. And O'Brien will go, well, I don't know who that guy's name is on the offensive line today. We should keep him. Bing! We got you. You're good. One-year deal. $8 million.
They could just both wear the same number.
They have cap space.
And
it's all
just
good.
Say Khalil on the back. They'd have no idea. They'd be like, huh? They're what?
Yeah.
It not worked. The same guy?
Totally works.
Yeah, well.
But it didn't happen.
No.
Again, I don't know who's making calls, but boy, I'd like to see their phone bill. I want to know whose names are on the other end, because I need them working the phone lines. That's what I need. Speaking of that, we were talking about the Astros, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to get to our boy.
Well, let's do that, and then we'll do some text.
All right, our boy Troy wanted to get in here on that Astros conversation. Troy, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man? Dude?
Just a quick story. So about 4:30 this morning, I'm laying in bed, and I wake up to my back being rubbed. And laying there, I said, am I dreaming? She goes, no, this is going down right now. I said, really? Zach Greinke is coming to the Astros? Yeah. Don't ever do that, man. It doesn't work out too good for you. I'm out.
Troy's running bits now. I swear to God, if I see Troy at open mic, I'm quitting comedy and radio. I'm not. He's out here. That's pretty funny, though.
Like, I didn't. You know, at first, I was like, "Oh no, please don't tell me he was sitting behind home plate." But the story got good.
That was outstanding. That was funny.
There you go. So you got any outstanding texts?
Yeah. Somebody said, Barry, if the Astros win the World Series, does it make it easier or harder for them to keep Cole? I'm going to say neither. I don't think that that is what would have a material effect on him staying or going. I think the bottom line, the dollar amounts that he can get in free agency is going to be the override. Because you got to remember now, there's a long time between when the World Series ends and when baseball starts up again. And I say a long time, you know, relatively speaking, that high wears off eventually. And then it's like, okay, now it's down to money. So I think at the end of the day, winning it or not isn't going to affect Gerrit Cole or this organization as much as can they come to a deal, or are the Astros willing to match whatever he can get in the open market?
Well, you were asked the question, not me, so no one wants my opinion. But that was my Tom Petty. But at the same time, my opinion would be, I think it would help. It could only help simply because what we were talking about yesterday was, though it doesn't look good, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that Gerrit Cole would consider re-signing here simply because he doesn't want the big market spotlight. He doesn't like the overabundance of media. He likes the fact that Houston, for being a big city, is very under the radar, low-key. He loves his teammates. He now already has a relationship with two more guys they just added. And if he could factor that into giving a hometown discount, I think it would go a long way.
Okay.
So we'll see.
How do y'all think Keuchel felt when he saw all the trades?
I think he's fine because he also felt like his Braves, as you mentioned and we mentioned, did enough to make sure that they're going to not only be competitive, but they're going to be in the mix in the National League. So I'm sure he liked the fact, you know, I'm sure he was watching it to say, well, where was the money for me? And I could have helped you with that starting pitching. But at the same time, I think if you're a professional, you've moved on. You're only worried about the team you're on now, and your team has a chance to win.
I think if he was in Baltimore, he'd have been like, damn it. But he's on a contender. He's on a legitimate baseball team that has the opportunity to make some waves in the playoffs. So I don't think Keuchel's looking at what the Astros did or any other organization did. I think he cares about what the Braves did, and the Braves got a lot better. So I think he's super happy. Also, it's 2:27, so if you didn't win the lap tickets, we'll have another chance to do that in the 3 o'clock hour. So stick around for that. But congratulate, oh, we're doing it in this hour. Ah, okay. Well, you want to do
255.
Let's do 255. If you didn't win, congratulations to Brandon, yep, who won. But let's do it again. 255. So stick around for that, and we'll take caller number 50. Just kidding. We'll take caller number 20 at 255. And whoever is caller number 20, we're not going to announce it again. You just need to remember, set your alarm, do whatever, tie a string around your finger, whatever it takes. Yep, at 2:55, call in and you'll have another chance to win. And the reason why we're doing this is because we're so popular. We're so wildly popular that all of our listeners are the ones that want to be appreciated. All these other shows are, I mean, they're okay, but apparently we're really popular,
yeah,
so we get to do it twice.
The Sons of Benches in the morning, they're not as active, yeah, or as motivated.
Yeah. That's what it is.
So, and by the way, keep in mind too, all suspects that win tickets also get suspects T-shirts.
And can I just point out one thing? Oh, that's right, they do.
That's a big thing.
All suspects that win get suspects T-shirts. And I'm going to point out one thing because it's came up a couple times now in the last week. If you have tickets and you can't make it, or you won twice, or something else, don't ask me and Joel and Nick about how to move the tickets or transfer. That's not our department. Our job is to look pretty. Well, my job is to look pretty.
Our job is to carry the show, right, Nick?
Oh. Ouch.
Touché, my friend.
Ouch.
I'll pull that out during the break.
It's it's not our job, so don't ask us. We're just the talent, okay? Work that out with the interns or Courtney or whoever else. I'm not going to get in the middle.
Tell us who to invite with our invites. Yeah. We've got, you just have no idea. If you guys
Told me that, so Joel's speaking for himself right now.
If you have ideas on who should go, we all do. And that's why we're stressing out about it. We only have so many limited opportunities, and we want to maximize to get all the right people there.
I almost wish they wouldn't have given us a list, but mine was pretty easy. I was like, all right, if you've supported this show and you've supported me and you've supported my comedy, That was an easy list to fill out. I just didn't get to get to everybody.
That's a tough part, too. Yeah. So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. We've got 90 in the books, which means we still got 90 to go in the big show. That means the windshield's wide open and there's plenty of room to drive. So you come on in and pick a lane and we'll get you on the show. 713-780-3776. HRNP Listener Line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. We're back with the second half right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, right here in Houston, Texas, as you got the Blank Man. Blanky Blank Buckets.
Blank Juice.
Yeah. And who are you?
I'm Barry.
No, you're Badass Barry.
I'm the Spring Stallion.
No, you're the...
No.
No.
I'm the Lawn Care Lion, according to AJ.
You're the Lawn Care Lion and
I'm the Spring Stallion.
The Springaling.
Nope. Don't like that at all. Not at all. If I get to pick my nicknames if they did.
Well, I didn't.
Well, you already got to be Blank Juice, because Camel Juice is the what do they call it? The driver. You're the driver, so you got to be Blank Juice, and I got to be my location and a description. See, so would you call me Springaling?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a location and a description.
I don't know.
That's just you trying to make me sound like. That's just you trying to make me sound like a penis. So
he's the Springling.
No,
I like.
So
it.
I'm the Spring Stallion.
And then every time I say Springling, Nick can go boing with the sound effect.
Who's their producer? Do we know?
Who's 6'10"?
Yeah, the Camel Juice and what's his name? The
Beaumont
Badass.
Know.
Yeah,
I should know.
Or the Baytown Badass.
No,
sorry,
because the afternoon producer was Joe George, and he went over to the B team.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That ain't right. So I don't know who
I thought I gave him an upgrade. Mm. I gave him a B. Well,
I don't know. I don't listen to the program. I still haven't really listened to the show.
No?
So.
Which one?
Mm.
The new afternoon.
I will call you on the way home today.
Put it on speaker.
Yep, and then I will have you give me your thoughts.
Normally, You've every time listened. I drive home, I am listening to the first two segments of The Blitz.
Me too.
Okay.
And then I go straight to Spotify. I'm not even going to sit here and lie.
Really?
I like the opening segment of The Blitz because I like how they BS sometimes. Mm-hmm. They'll go straight into sports, but sometimes they won't. And outside of that, I will go straight to Spotify.
Be honest. We all listen to the first two segments of The Blitz to see which one of the three of us they're banging on today.
No, that's not me. That's you, sir.
That's me for sure. Because I get it more than most.
I don't. I actually don't listen for that at all. Because I don't really, honest to God, I
really
don't care.
I really
like
don't.
I've had people be like, "Oh, they're talking about you on Patrick Creighton." I honestly do not care.
Yeah, like, Patrick really. Creighton show. Barry Laminack's going to be talking. I'm filling in for Charlie Ballou.
He doesn't finish the whole last name.
Never does.
Is that what you're saying?
Patrick Creighton filling in for Charlie Ballou. Barry Laminack.
It's like he's got a sentence and then he takes the last half of the sentence and condenses it into about a quarter of what it should be. Right?
Yes.
Patrick Creighton in for Charlie Ballou right here.
Texas training camp day 3. You're Jason so Braddock.
Well, I can't believe you have me doing this. No, by the way, no.
That's all right.
we're not doing. What does that have to do with anything?
He does it all the time with Jason Braddock.
Somebody asked me, Barry, can you Can you tweet out the link to that Doberman website where we can adopt Dobermans? So I will absolutely do that. If you want to follow me at Barry is Funny on Twitter, and I will tweet out the link to it.
You know what my buddy said about the shedding thing? He said his Doberman does shed, but as it's gotten older, it sheds less.
Oh, really?
Weird.
Hmm. That is weird.
You said shed, right?
Yeah,
right.
Shed. Because I don't, you know, with Barry's twang, he almost said the S-bomb, right?
Nope.
Yeah, yesterday.
Nope. That's not true at all. You guys are trying to get me in trouble with
the
FCC.
You sounded like the Baytown Badass, and you... And you almost made shed sound like
way
yes
to go,
bump.
Springaling.
I hate you, Sugarland bleephead. The Sugarland shoot head, but you know what I'm really
I
saying.
Know.
So I'm going to tweet the link out at Barry is Funny, and it's really if you want, it's hadr.org. Houston area Doberman rescue. So HADR.org.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you have that.
Go get a dog.
Absolutely. At least one.
Go get a dog. Did y'all talk about the comedian that got beat up by a crowd member at an open mic?
When was this? Fantastic. Recently?
Really?
You had talked about the last comedian that got rushed on stage.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's happened a couple times since I've been doing comedy here in Houston, and I know that there was one in California a while back where the guy rushed the stage and then got kicked in the gut, and he fell down crying. Then there was another one where there was a legitimate fight, but that wasn't at an open mic. It was at a show. But I don't remember. You'd have to send me a link or something. But I don't know if I don't know. I have not heard of one. So if you want to send me a link or whatever, I'll check it out and be happy to provide some commentary. So don't have that. No. Somebody texted blank juice and dingleberry. Nope. We're not.
We've been through that.
Not going to go with that at all. And all your other blank juice texts are being deleted. So we're there. We're there now. So what did I, there was something I saw. Where the hell did it go? Oh, big ups to the Saints taking care of business.
Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas got a new deal, a 5-year contract extension worth $100 million, $61 million in new guaranteed money. It also includes a $20 million signing bonus. So I think they did the right thing. You know, we did that video for Sports Map and we talked about dynamic duos,
right?
Quarterback and receiver. And my pick, I agreed in the sense that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones is probably up there. Who, by the way, Julio Jones now wanting a new deal. I just saw it on ESPN before
amicable.
We started the show. He wants a new deal, so now he wants to be the highest paid receiver. And he's obviously earned it and deserves it, but boy, this is just like a cyclical. It just never
stops.
He's
in camp, but he's not going to play in any of the preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
But he believes that Arthur Blank and everybody at the Falcons are going to make it happen.
And they will. I believe that,
I think
too.
You should. I mean, he's obviously a proven commodity, and he is a stud. With that combination of that body size and strength and the speed he has,
yeah,
he is a tough cover.
Yeah, he really is. And Breeze and Thomas just over the last several years have been the model of consistency.
I'll be honest, as good as their running game has been, and now you're down to, you had Thunder and Lightning, but now you just got Kamara in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, Michael Thomas could be the difference between competing for a Super Bowl and not so much.
Right.
Because
I'm with you.
He is everything for Drew Breeze in a lot of ways.
I'm so with you.
I'm sure you can start counting down now from 10 for when Clarence calls. But yeah, that's definitely some news in the NFL as well. So we'll continue to roll. We've got plenty more to get to in this hour of the show. We're going to give away, again, 2 more tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party. If you didn't catch the time, that's on you, because we're not supposed to give...
255!
Oh, we'll see. It's on you again.
Rico.
That's on you and on them, not me.
255 is your chance to win.
In the 3 o'clock hour, you're going to have a chance to win Sugarland Skeeters tickets 2 different times during the final hour of the show. So, again, we're giving back to the suspects, and that's always good. So, from the Sugarland Tweeter to the Sugarland Skeeters. We're going to get you a chance to win.
Skeeter, skeeter, skeeter.
Ain't that right, Springling? All right.
For
the Sugarland
right
Skeeter, the Sugarland Tweeter, and Springling.
We are going to stop that right now.
We're coming back in just mere minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number 2 of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Who is the guest host of choice today, Nicholas? Do we know? I don't know who's filling in on the Blitz. I know one of these days coming up is going to be Moneyline. It's going to be Jerry Bowe and Josh Jordan. Patrick Creighton may be filling in. As a matter of fact, I think you're right. Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock maybe today. But anyway, with AJ out, it's a cast of thousands in with Fred, the boss in the gloss yesterday. And I believe you might be right. I think it's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock today on the Blitz.
Okay, so Nick, you found this or who? Aaron showed it to you. We don't need to run the audio. It's fine. This is wild, though. Somebody asked if I had seen this open mic fight. Essentially, what happens is this dude's on stage telling a joke. This audience member's talking. He tells him, yeah, I know who you are. Shut up. And with no warning, and it's a small little venue. It's like a small little stage, and there's just chairs around the stage. The dude just jumps up and punches him dead in the face. So he didn't have a chance. Like a lot of times at a comedy show, there's aisles or there's distance between you and the first row of chairs. You're going to see and have a chance to react if somebody's rushing the stage. There was literally maybe 8 feet between the two, and he wasn't even looking when he got punched.
Didn't take a second for him to get to the open mic performer, and
no,
he did not hesitate. It wasn't just the fact that it was so close. He didn't hesitate. He really felt like he was being singled out, being the only black guy watching.
Yeah, he said something to that effect, I'm the only black guy in here, and you guys are going to single me out or whatever. And that's a rough one. That's why you do have to be careful. You do have to, you know. I mean, I've said some things on stage that could have got me beat up or have somebody rush the stage or whatever.
But why are you at a comedy place if you're going to start a fight, man? Like, why are you so angry if you're at a comedy place? Even if it is
but
open
Nick,
mic.
Look at it. It's the same way people that listen to sports radio can't just listen and absorb the conversation and agree to disagree. We get so much hate and all the different things that we get here, too. And it's just like sometimes people got a whole lot going on in their lives, and they feel like it's not just an avenue to kind of escape. It's a way for them to lash out. It's unfortunate, but it's true. I mean, you know how many hecklers you deal with.
Oh, yeah.
But you would think this heckler would give him a warning. Like, keep talking, bruh. I'm just going to keep interrupting your open mic show, and I want you to say something. Nope. He just said one thing. So that's why I was telling Barry in the break.
Well, you're not sure maybe what happened before, right? Like,
that's what
maybe
I was telling
everybody was picking on him.
Right, because the way he told him to shut up, he was initially going to say shut the bleep up, and then he like held himself and said just shut your mouth or something like that. So I felt like he filtered himself, which makes me believe that there was some sort of like previous back and forth at the very minimum between the two, because he says I know who you are, can you shut up?
The crazy thing is once so the comic that was on stage is getting beat up, and then three or four guys hold the other guy back, and then the guy that was getting beat up runs to the back and shuts the door.
Yep.
And then they kind of just push the other guy out the door, and boy, that escalated.
And it broke some glass doing it.
Yeah, he shattered a window on the way out. That escalated real fast. Needless to say, I don't think he'll be invited back to that venue for sure.
Yeah. He'd have to come back long after this incident to where perhaps they forgot him or something like that, you know?
That was wild. I've seen a drunk lady. I might have told this story before, but you know, we had Rob Mungo on the show.
Yeah.
I've seen a drunk lady throw a glass at him. She was up front. She was like,
Did he dodge it? Like, did he get hit?
Matrix style. All slow. It felt slow when I was watching it. And this lady, she was real drunk. She was just up front like, yeah, suck. He was like, all right, ma'am. She's like, yeah, you suck so much. And he goes, sit down. And she was like, I don't have to sit down. Then he called her the C word.
Oh, well, that'll escalate quickly.
Oh, yeah. Then that'll get a cup thrown at you.
She's like, you son of it. And she had a whole, like a
whiskey glass?
A whiskey glass with ice in it.
It's her.
And just threw the glass at him. And she was right close to the stage, too. And he ducked kind of to the side, and it hit the back wall and exploded.
Is Rob Mungo big?
Yeah, he's a big dude.
I was trying to remember.
How did he dodge that?
He's nimble. Big boy got nimble feet, I guess. I don't know. But he dodged it. And then we were all like, what? So I went and got her. Me and, was it Al? I don't remember who. Me and another guy kind of escorted her out. And then I was next on stage. Now, I'm kind of new. Still, I'm like a year and a half in. I don't have the chops like I do now. So, I mean, I didn't even acknowledge.
I just went on stage and they were like, ladies and gentlemen, Barry Lamanac. And I walked on stage. And I was like, hey, so I'm married. Like, I didn't even. And you know the whole crowd's going, really, bro? You're just not even going to acknowledge what just happened. There's shattered glass everywhere and ice. And so I panic and I just go up and I do a set and no laughs, obviously, because everyone wanted me to just riff on that. I get off stage and Zach Dixon, who has been doing it a while, he goes up next. He goes, hey, guys, I want to apologize about my mom. that was so great. It was so great.
That's fantastic.
I was like, that's how you handle it. And I learned my lesson. I was like, okay. That's what I was telling some of the comedians in the workshop I did a couple weeks ago. I was like, sometimes if something like that happens, you just have to address it. And then, because my set was awful, and I was like, oh, I wonder if my jokes are. No, it's because my stupid ass didn't address the situation. I just tried to go straight into jokes like nothing happened.
So it's the elephant in the room, and if it stays silent, it only hurts you.
Yeah, and Zach went up and did that, and that's all he had to say. He didn't have to be like, hey, Rob, and this and that. He just goes, guys, I'm sorry about my mom. And it killed, and then he did a set, and he killed. And it was like, that was the difference. But, you know, you learn these things. You don't know, so you don't know. And so I watched that, and I went, wow, that's a great lesson to learn. Sometimes you don't have to dwell on it. You don't have to do too much. I would have loved to have seen what the next comic did after that happened. I would have just loved to have seen that.
Oh, yeah,
Because, you know, if you go up and you make that mistake where you're like, so...
How's everybody doing today?
Any dog owners in the house? You're like, what? Bro, it was just an ass whooping passed out, like a natural ass whooping, too. Just fist to face. That was it. Yeah, that was crazy.
Man.
Well, seen it now.
I'm just waiting for your first one. Because I know you're.
Bro, I really
I know
feel like,
the nimble factor is there, but I just. Between dodging a glass and avoiding kicking some ass or having to get your ass kicked, I'd like to. What happened?
Look, in that situation, I probably would have got my ass kicked because he had no idea it was coming. He popped off. He turned away. Next thing you know, he's getting punched in the face. What are you going to do at that point?
Yeah.
I mean, you really, it's the element of surprise. It's kind of chicken bleep to blindside him like that.
Yeah, a blindsided haymaker or something like that, it's brutal.
Like, stand on stage and get in his face. But, I mean, he just jumped up, shoved him, punched him, and that was it. So, I don't know.
That's crazy. You hate to see that, too, because, again, it's just like anything else. When we talk about it in sports, the courtside seats and all those other things, you know, it's a privilege to be that close to an entertainer, especially when you get into, like, when you're talking about comedy and you could go see a rising comedy stars that end up being something. You could say, God, I got to be that close and be that cool a show. But stuff like that is the same reason why they're contemplating and thinking about doing things differently in the NBA and all over the place, because you're too close, have too much access, and too many things could go wrong.
It's scary sometimes, I'll be honest with you.
I bet.
Especially when there's alcohol involved. Just like with NBA games and MLB games and football games, there's alcohol involved. And that's when you get streakers on the field or the court or whatever, and they're running around and they're running up to athletes, and athletes are like, yo, what the hell's going on?
That would be funny. Tony Stewart the other day?
A streaker at an open mic, that would be funny because it's such a small room.
That's true.
It better be a big package.
You could literally hear them running by.
Or the stage fright would be.
You're like, bro, what?
Bat wings, da-da-da-da-da. It was hot in there. Did you see Tony Stewart the other day? Speaking of that?
I did.
Yeah, Tony Stewart, the former NASCAR driver, still driving a little bit. And they promoted the hell out of the fact that he's going to be racing and doing all these different things. And one lap in to the race, the engine blew on, I think, his truck.
Yeah.
And so he's in the pits afterwards. And a guy, like you said, Nick, that's had too much to drink, that just had too much courage, started ragging on him for the fact that he didn't, for all that was billed, he didn't race, and it was like he thought it was planned, he quit, whatever. And Tony Stewart wasn't having any of it. He let the guy say about 2-3 things. Tony flipped him off. He flipped him off twice. Tony ran after him. Pow! Next thing you know, just popped him right in the side of the gourd, knocked him down.
Good.
And I thought the same thing. I was like, this dude deserves this.
Quite a bit of people out there that needs to get punched in the face.
It's funny because on the text line, somebody said, I don't know if I'm late, but every now and then I feel like the comedian needs to get his ass kicked. I understand it's supposed to be a comedy thing, but at the same time, that doesn't give you free range. Actually, it really does. If you're that sensitive enough to fight somebody, don't go to a comedy show.
But let me ask you this. Would you go after someone in your audience if they didn't go after you first?
No.
That's I think that's the key too. If they take the first shot by going at you,
well, I mean, now I told, all bets are off. You mentioned the S and the D, and if you missed that story, there was a heckler, and the long story short, I told him to S his son's D, and he wanted to fight me. But you know what? None of that happens if he doesn't heckle, if he doesn't talk. So whoever sent that text, I'm sorry. That's just a ridiculous statement. You think you have free range to go on a stage and punch a performer in the face because you don't like what he said? That's ridiculous. Never go to a comedy show. Never come to my comedy show. I'll tell you that. That's insane.
No,
that's
they'll never go anywhere. Like we talked about it not too long ago about when Chris Rock did his first performance at Smart Financial in Sugarland, and he had all those Trump jokes. I'm telling you, people were driving out of that venue. Not that it all like emptied out, but quite a few people were bothered and they were driving out of that venue angry, literally almost knocking over parking lot attendants. No,
it's
just BS.
Crazy. Like, you know, it's a
that's how sensitive they are. It's like, then don't come to the comedy show.
Yeah, don't go
bro.
To a comedy show. That's ridiculous.
Kit, by the way, congratulations, is the winner of our second listener appreciation party pair of tickets for the day. Kit, you
congrats.
And a guest will be heading to the listener appreciation party. We look forward to seeing you there. You also get two Usual Suspects t-shirts.
Oh, I was going to ask, does the guest get a shirt or
I
just
believe
Kit
so.
The winner? Okay.
All right.
That's dope.
So if you bring Knight Rider with you, then you and Kit will get the two coming. T-shirts for hour number two. We'll be back with the final hour of the show. 60 minutes on the clock when we return. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.